And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John chapter 6, may I remind you, as you are finding your place in the Word of God, your opportunity to study together in fellowship in the training time at 6 o'clock, your opportunity to be in the services tonight, the coming of the strong man, your opportunity to say in a tangible way, in the reception for the Hanzels, your appreciation for what they have meant to you, and for what they have meant to the ministry of this church. I hope that you'll be on hand for this special tribute tonight and for the Sunday evening worship service. John chapter 6, I am going to read verse 66 through verse 69. Chapter 6, verse 66, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for thy blessings in these moments that we have to worship. We thank thee that thou hast made it possible through the gift of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us to be together. And now in these moments of worship, in the reading of thy word, in the preaching of the gospel, may the Holy Spirit breathe on us, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. John chapter 6 and verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. My text centers upon the answer of Simon Peter. When Jesus asked the 12 apostles, Will you also go away? And Peter answered, To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The setting of this text is the feeding of the 5,000. God specializes in small things to accomplish great things. He takes a little bit and makes a whole lot out of it, and then has a great deal left over. After the feeding of the 5,000, the multitude started leaving. They had their stomachs full. They had come and gotten what they desired, and now they were making their way back into the villages round about, going away from Jesus. My message this morning is Christ or Chaos. I've got a longer title, Take the Whole World, but Give Me Jesus. Lord, to whom shall we go? In 1970, the most difficult, the most perilous, the most trying days of our lives, and of our church, and of our community, and of the community of nations all over the earth. Where shall we go? Christ or chaos? Let me ask you a personal and pointed question. If for some insane reason you should decide to leave Jesus and leave the church, and leave the Bible, and leave the ancient path, I ask you, if for some insane reason you choose to do so, where on earth would you go? The psalmist said, whom have I in heaven but thee, and who on earth but thee? If you decide to leave Christ, where will you go? Would you go to the resources of this world? This world has a reservoir of wisdom. There have been a few men in every age of unusual wisdom. But the Bible says, the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the prudent one? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Where would you go to the wisdom of the world? Where would you go? This world has a reservoir of wealth. But I read in Psalm 46, verse 6 and 7, but they that trust in their wealth and boast in their riches, none of them could by any means redeem his brother or offer to God a ransom for him. There is a great deal of money in the world today. I read the other day that our national debt is now something like $370 billion. It would be impossible to count or calculate all the riches of this world. But beloved, if you had all the wealth of this world in one big pile at your disposal, how foolish it would be of you, how insane it would be for you to leave Jesus for that. This world has a reservoir of science. And I'm for science and I'm in favor of science. But beloved, when I come down to the river of death, when the perspiration of death is beating on my brow, I don't want a scientist, I want a savior. Amen. For science can wash the stains from silk and wool and marble and glass, but science cannot wash away the filth of your sins and mine. I want Jesus. Science can pioneer the way in the oceans, but science can never pioneer the distance between you and a righteous God. Science can take us to the moon and back, but science can never float us into the presence of God Almighty. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No wonder Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Professor Hegard of Copenhagen University had this to say about his own experience with science and with God, and he's a noted scientist. Listen to his words, and I want to read them to you. The experiences of life, its sufferings and griefs, have shaken my soul and have broken the foundation upon which I formerly thought I could build safely. Full of faith in the sufficiency of science, I thought to have found in it a sure refuge for all the contingencies of life. The illusion vanished when the tempest came, which plunged me into sorrow The moorings, the cable of science broke like a thread. Then I seized upon that help which many before me had laid hold of. I sought and found peace in God. Since then, I have not abandoned science, but I have assigned to it another place in life. I don't call on you to abandon wisdom or wealth or science, but I do in Jesus' name call upon you to put these things in another place and make Christ number one in your life. Where would you go? Would you go to the religions of the world? To Buddhism, a religion of despair? Would you go to Confucianism, a religion of ancestor worship? Would you go today to Hinduism and be told and be taught that you could be incarnated and reincarnated until finally you would become a part of the great supreme force? Would you go to Judaism and listen to the thunderings from Mount Sinai? Would you go to Mohammedanism and be told by the false prophets of Mohammed that your way to God is through the writings of the Quran? Would you go to Zoroastrianism and try to get out of their nonsensical idea that there is no evil in the world, that everybody is good and everything is good? Would you go to the religions of the world to offer any substitute for the teachings of this word and the doctrines and teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ is like striking a match in the face of the noonday sun? If you decide to go away from Jesus, where will you go? It has been said that when Mohammed sees a poor soul in the gutter, he says to him, "Fear not, my brother, this is the will of Allah." When, on the other hand, Buddha sees a poor soul in the gutter, Buddha says, "If you will be patient through 1,000 incarnations, you'll get out of the gutter." When Confucius sees a man in the gutter, he says, "Now, dear brother, if I had seen you before you got in the gutter, I could have told you how to stay out of the gutter." But, beloved, when the Lord Jesus Christ sees a man in the gutter, he who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and robed himself in the clothes of flesh, he comes down to the gutter like the Good Samaritan and washes away the stain and lifts the man up, and they go together into the beautiful city of God. If you leave Jesus, where are you going? I'd rather have Jesus than 10 million worlds like this. I'd rather have Jesus than all the gold and silver, than all the fame and popularity that this world has, because when all of this has faded and the gold has turned to dust, I'm still living with Jesus in the world to come. Where shall we go? Where shall we go? Where shall the sinner go? This Bible tells me, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Where can the sinner go save to Jesus? Where can the saint go? In the words of my text, Peter said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Where shall the sufferer go? Oh, there's so much suffering in the world today. But Jesus said in Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Where shall the sufferer go? By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Where shall the servant go? Jesus said, come unto me, all of ye that labor and are a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where shall the skeptic go? The man who says there is no God and the Bible is not true and shuns the mercies of God and makes fun of the revealed plan of salvation. The Bible says the fool, the skeptic, hath said in his heart, there is no God. But then in Philippians chapter 2, we read that God has highly exalted Jesus Christ and has given him a name that is above every name, that every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things on the earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Christ to the glory of God the Father. One of these days, every God-hating, Christ-rejecting, sneering, skeptic and doubter and atheist and unbeliever and infidel will bow before the Son of God and proclaim that he is the Christ of the living God. Where shall we go? Where shall we go in the midst of all of our perils and problems and difficulties? To whom shall we go? Jesus has the answer. To go away from Jesus means to go away from life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To go away from Jesus is to go away from love. In 1 John 4:8 we read, God is love. To go away from Jesus is to go away from light. For Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. To go away from Jesus is to go away from liberty. For we read in John 8 and 36, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. To whom shall we go? To go away from Jesus is to go into darkness. For Jesus said in Matthew 22:13, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. To go away from Jesus is to go into damnation. For we read in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. To go away from Jesus is to go into eternal death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Where shall we go if we go away from Jesus? Look what happened to those who have gone away. The rich man went away and he ended up in hell. If you go away from Jesus unsaved, unregenerated, you will end up in hell. Judas went away from Jesus and he ended up on the short end of a rope. King Agrippa went away and said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, but I've read the closing chapters of the book of Acts. And I've gone back and reread them and I've never found that time for Agrippa to ever become a Christian. Almost is not enough. Almost will not avail. Almost is lost. You might as well miss heaven a million miles as to miss it 1 second. King Agrippa went away. The prodigal son went away from Jesus, and he ended up in the hog pen. Herod Antipas went away, and the worms ate him up. Read it in Acts chapter 12. All the danger, the folly, the foolishness of going away from Jesus. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I ask you again personally, pointedly, where will you go? You with your burden of sin, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Where will you go? You with your heartache and sorrow. He has come to bind up the brokenhearted. You, where will you go with your loneliness? The psalmist said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and no man would know me, acknowledge me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Then I cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, thou art my portion in the land of the living. If you belong to the Lonely Hearts Club this morning, there's no place for you to go to find companionship so sweet as you will find in Jesus Christ, my Savior. For he has given you a written guarantee. If you will come to him, he will never leave you nor forsake you. But he'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. Where will you go? You with the gray hair of old age, where will you go? The psalmist said, I am old, I once was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. In the twilight zone of your life, you will never find companionship of eternal things, lasting things, enduring things, apart from Jesus. And so this morning, I invite you to come to Jesus with all of your burdens. I invite you to come to Jesus with all your heartaches, with all your trials, with all your loneliness, with all your sin. I invite you to come to him. For let me tell you about my Jesus in just 1 minute. He is a head specialist. He's a heart specialist. He's a hand specialist. He's a foot specialist. He's an eye specialist. He's an ear specialist. He's a throat specialist. He can tell you how you ought to think. He can tell you how you ought to feel. He can tell you how you ought to work. He can tell you how you ought to walk. He can tell you how you ought to look and how you ought to hear and how you ought to speak. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. I remind you, as I muster everything within my power, to say to you that if you go away from Jesus, you will go into eternal damnation. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we ask thy blessings upon this message today. We pray the Holy Spirit will lead men to Christ and help us all to see that if we turn away from Jesus, we have no one else to whom we can turn. The wisdom, the wealth, the science, the accomplishments of this world shall not avail. They are not satisfying. They are not sufficient. They are not adequate. They will not do when we are dying. But, oh, dear God, we know that Jesus will. And, Heavenly Father, I pray that thou wouldst turn men to him today. and families to Him, and young people to Him, and people to Him today from all walks of life. Bring men to Christ in this service. Bring us to our knees. Bring us to a place of devotion and dedication and blessing that Thou art willing to give us if we are but there to receive it. Dear God, I pray that Thou wouldst preach this message in its full impact right now again to these people, to each of our hearts, and help us to realize when all is said and done, there's no friend like Jesus. And if we leave Him, if we go away from Him, we go into eternal, everlasting damnation, disappointment, destruction, darkness. Oh, dear God, don't let us go away from Jesus today, is our prayer in His name. While we remain with our heads bowed, we're not going to put anybody on the spot. We're not going to ask you to do anything but what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. But if you're out there this morning, while you remain in prayer, in a moment the choir is going to sing an invitation hymn. Oh, I love Jesus this morning. And I feel afresh and anew in my own heart that there is no one else to whom we can go. I don't have anyone else to introduce to you, to present to you, to offer to you, but Christ. And His is the way of a cross. I say to you, don't go away. Don't turn away from Jesus. You're out there this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I invite you to come to Him. He's a sin specialist this morning. If you're out there and you want to come for a prayer of dedication as a Christian, I want you to come. This altar stretches from here to eternity. It's never closed. It's always open for you. If you're here and you're not a member of Worth Baptist, but you'd like to be by letter from another Baptist church, or by statement, or by baptism, I want you to come. Whatever your need is, salvation, a prayer of dedication, church membership, don't turn away from Jesus. Don't turn away from the church. Don't turn away from the Holy Spirit's wooing in your heart. As you remain in prayer and while the choir sings the first stanza, who'll be first to come to Christ?